All right. Matthew chapter 1. We are obviously thinking about Christmas today. We preach from this near this same verse that we want to look at here in just a few minutes. But certainly it is a time to celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do want to read from Matthew chapter 1 verse, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth, I think maybe we just heard it. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. In today's world, many people would tell you that Christianity is no different, and this is very, you know, prevalent in today's world, that Christianity is no different than any other religion. That's the mantra of the secular world. If your kids, or if you recently graduated from a college or university, you no doubt heard that, or some of the younger people are hearing that right now. They, you know, the professors will tell our young people that there is no difference, that all religions are essentially the same. And here's what I say to that. That's true. All religions are the same. When you look at Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism and Mormonism and paganism and all the other isms, I say it is the same, not the way they mean it, but basically, religion always says to do, to perform, to reach some goal that is the only way that you will ever be acceptable to whatever God it is that they say they serve. In general, though, in all other religions, or in all religions, I would say, you can never, ever have a relationship with the God that they're trying to please. Now that, hang on to that for a minute, because that, you see, is what separates Christianity from what we would call religion. See, I don't call Christianity religion. I know, you know, we kind of throw that word around and we say, well, we got religion and this and that, but, you know, it's really something much, much more than that. You know, some of these other denominations, or we might say other religions, they teach that man can even become a god. Can you imagine that? Man, I don't want to get in wrapped up in something that says that I can become a god, because you know what that does in my mind? That lowers God to where I'm at. And listen, here's what we need to remember. God is God, and we're not. And we'll never, you know, his glory is unattainable, his character is unreachable, except by Jesus Christ. Christianity may come under the heading of religion at the library, at the music store, and even internet browsing, but Christianity is not just a religion. Christianity is head and shoulders, or we might say Christianity is a savior above every other religion that you will ever come in contact in this world. You see, Christianity, it's up good. We have a cross. You know, that symbol reminds us of a Savior that died on an old rugged cross, gave his life, became the Lamb of God. And the death that he died on that cross was a death that paid the sin debt for every man, woman, boy, or girl right now in the world today. You see, that's a symbol that reminds us of that, that cross. But not only that, we also have the symbol or the very tomb itself, which is empty, which reminds us that what the cross did took that Savior in death. The grave nor death itself could hold him because he rose 3 days later victorious over death and the grave. And see, no other religion can claim that our Savior lives. The tomb is empty. Those symbols remind us of that. They remind us that we have hope. They remind us that there's something far greater in what Jesus Christ brought to you and I. Or that's the greatest, what Jesus brought to you and I. And here's what I say today, that it all started at the manger. And we read about it. You've heard it twice today. It all started right here with the birth of Jesus Christ. A virgin would conceive, bring forth a son. What a crazy thing people would say. A virgin conceive, yes. A virgin would conceive and she would bring forth a son, but he wouldn't just be any ordinary son or an ordinary child. Now, all of us think that about our children, don't we? We all think that. My son's not ordinary. My grandchildren are not ordinary. They're smarter. We say that about our kids, but can you imagine? Mary brought forth the Son of God. She cradled in her arms her own Creator. She nursed her own Savior. She raised the greatest one of all, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Her son was absolutely above the rest. Isn't that good? But you know, not everybody celebrated it, and not everybody knew what was happening. Not everybody, we might say, would recognize what the Bible says in verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name." And here's what I want to preach on for just a few minutes. Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. No other religion will teach that. God is with us, not just a child, but a God child. Paul said it like this, that God was manifested in the flesh. But not everybody recognized that, and that's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes. Not everybody recognized that. Not everybody grasped the truth that God had become flesh. That God came down to us. I mean, Herod didn't recognize it, right? Think about Herod. I mean, you know, he heard from the wise men probably maybe a year after Christ was born. Where is he that is born the King of the Jews? And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 2 verse 3 that Herod was really troubled about this. And so what did he do? He calls for the scribes and he says, "Where was that scripture that said something about the Messiah?" You know what I thought about this morning as I was just kind of going over my notes? You know, there's a lot of people who don't know enough about the Word of God to really understand who Jesus is. Man, I want to know the Word of God. I want to know the truth that it contains. Herod didn't know that, and because he didn't understand the Word of God, he did not recognize. He merely thought, no doubt, that somebody had been born that may attempt to take his throne, and he was fearful about this and killed many people over this already. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ was the rightful heir to the throne that Herod occupied. You see, the bloodline of his mother, Mary, came from David through his son Nathan. He had the blood of David running through his veins, and that was the promise. It was even brought up in Sunday school that the ruler or a descendant of David was set on the throne. The bloodline was right. His stepfather, and make no mistake, the Bible's very clear about it, Joseph was his stepfather. He was also a descendant of David through Solomon, who did reign, so legally he had a right to the heirship. There was one born that was going to be on the throne. Amen? Herod had a right to fear, but I want to tell you, listen, he came to rule in a much greater capacity than just the throne of Israel. He wants to rule in your heart. And so Herod tried to get rid of him. He didn't recognize him. Neither did, I was thinking about this morning as well, neither did those scribes and lawyers and doctors when Jesus was just a child at the age of 12 years old. We have a story about how his mother and Joseph, they had went to Passover in Jerusalem, and they had left Passover heading back home. And they had gone a ways, and they realized Jesus was not in their presence. And so they turned around, and by the time they got back to him, it says it's about 3 days. But they found Jesus in the temple talking and debating and speaking about the scriptures with all those educated men, lawyers and scribes and doctors, all these. And guess what? Jesus is holding his own with those educated men. They were astonished at him. And no doubt, when Jesus left there, they were astonished at that he knew that much. And no doubt, they probably said, man, what a great teacher he's going to be. What a great religious leader he's going to be. And there's too many in the world today that just relegate Jesus to just a teacher. There's too many that say, oh, he's a good man, he's a prophet, he's a teacher. And so many that I know do just that. My chiropractor does that. Oh, he's a good man. But listen, he was much more. But no doubt, they didn't recognize who he was. And the list goes on. I could really, I think about the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus. Good master, he says. What should I do that I might have eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you know, the commandments keep him. And he's kind of, reeling him in. And they have a conversation, but this rich young ruler hangs his head and goes away sorrowful. You know why? Because he didn't understand. He didn't recognize who Jesus was. He just didn't pick up all the signs. He didn't recognize the Savior. The crowd that Christ stood before at the end of his life here on earth, and Barabbas on one side that Pilate brought out, and Jesus on the other. And that crowd looked up, and I want to tell you, Jesus didn't fit the bill of a Messiah. He didn't fit the bill of what they thought would Messiah would be. I mean, he was supposed to be a guy that was going to ride in and deliver them from Roman rule. Surely this meek and lowly, and Isaiah says there's no beauty in him that we should desire him. He didn't fit the bill, and this crowd looked at Barabbas and looked at Jesus, and they said, give us Barabbas. At least he's trying to deliver us politically from the throes of Rome. And they said, crucify Jesus. They did not recognize who Jesus was. Maybe you fall under that category today. Maybe you're under the category of you don't recognize who Jesus is. Listen, I'm glad that there's some who did recognize and some that do. And I want to talk about that for just a few minutes. Think about Mary. She certainly recognized who Jesus was. How could she miss it, Gabriel appeared to her and said, you're going to have a child, the chosen one to bring the Son of God into the world. She believed him and she obeyed him. And then there's Joseph, her earthly husband, and the stepfather, the man that would raise Emmanuel. God is with us. And can you imagine the pressure that's on him? In that short passage that I read to you, there's Joseph has a dilemma. She tells him that she's with child. Can you imagine? They're engaged to be married. They've kept themselves pure, at least in his mind. And she comes up and she says, I'm going to have a baby. Can you imagine? He was thinking he was going to put her away. He was thinking, well, how am I going to handle this? He had a dilemma on his hands, but thank God, God came to him in a dream and said, listen, everything is going to be all right. And then we see in verse 24, he made the right decision. He raised Jesus as his own. But you know what? He recognized. God showed him who this baby was in Mary's womb. Emmanuel, God is with us. He recognized that. What about the angels in heaven? I was thinking this morning that here's what the Bible tells us about someone who gives their life to the Lord. that there is rejoicing in heaven when one person repents, when one sinner repents, that there is rejoicing in heaven. Imagine the rejoicing, and it tells us about it in Luke. Imagine the rejoicing that heaven itself had when Jesus came. As a matter of fact, there's an account given of angels that appeared to those shepherds that kept their flock by night. And the angels, they said, listen, we've got some good tidings with great joy. For unto you this day is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Man, that is some good news. And they begin to tell the shepherds what they needed to hear. And then it says this, and suddenly they begin to, the whole host of heaven begin to praise God and shout glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Listen, the angels in heaven knew that God's plan was starting to unfold, and they were rejoicing. They recognized who Jesus was. Emmanuel, God is with us. And those shepherds, I'm going to probably spend a few minutes here, and maybe I'll close it pretty much with this right here. Maybe I won't. I don't know. But those shepherds, think about this. Those shepherds, they're out there. It's just a normal night. You know, they're on the time clock, and they're keeping their sheep, and they're doing their job. And all of a sudden, those angels appear, and they're happy, and they're rejoicing. And they say to these shepherds, they say, this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, you know, the Bible doesn't, and I looked at this and I can't find where it actually says he was born in a stable. It doesn't act, but due to the fact that he was born in laid in a manger at his birth, we can conclude that a manger, which is a feed trough for animals, undoubtedly was kept in a stable. And so we can deduce that Christ was probably born in a stable. You imagine that? Christ born in a stable. Emmanuel. No fanfare. No red carpet. No, you know, no dignitaries from all the surrounding nations coming and well-wishing for Mary and congratulating her because King of Kings and Lord of Lords had been born. You know, none of that. Remember just, was it a couple years ago when Prince William and Kate, his wife, she had her baby. I remember I turned on the morning news that one morning, and I don't know, maybe it was a couple mornings. There seemed to be a vigil set up outside the hospital, and there were satellite dishes and reporters' trucks and, you know, newspaper reporters and TV reporters, CNN, Fox, everybody you can imagine was outside that hospital because they wanted to be the first one to break the story that the baby had been born. None of that for Jesus, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Savior of the entire world, born in a stable. Born in a stable. What a shame. You know what that is? He was born in a stable because the Bible tells us specifically there was no room for him in the inn. There was no room. She gets there and no room. Sadly, too many today have no room for Jesus. Our lives are so hectic and so busy that we forget the most important aspect of life. We're just too busy for Jesus. What a shame. But you know what? That stable was a sign too. Because remember what those angels said? You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It was a sign. So that they could recognize the Christ child when they found him. So that they knew when they come in contact with him, they were coming in contact with the Son of God, with Emmanuel. And here's what it says about those shepherds. They found him and they went their way rejoicing and praising God for what they had seen. And it says that they began to publish abroad all the things that they had encountered at the stable. Can I tell you that when you come in contact with Jesus, you will always leave differently. Right? You will always leave differently. And if you will allow him to come into your heart, you will leave better. You see, there's some, like the rich young ruler, he left differently, but he was in sorrow. When you encounter Christ and you encounter him with a searching heart and pure motives, you will leave better than he found you. These shepherds, listen, they recognized that God was with us. So here's the question. Do you recognize God is with us? That list could go on and on. You know, it really could. I mean, there's so John the Baptist, behold, the Lamb of God. Peter, when Jesus spoke, said, who do men say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. On the list goes people that recognize him. And I'm glad there's people today that recognize God is with us. Now, here's the thing. Because God is with us, he can be in us. I read a story about an old farmer. It was around Christmas season. And his wife was a Christian, but he himself was having trouble grasping the truth that God would become a baby, a crying, nursing, needing diaper changing, puking baby. You ever think about that? That was God. He was a baby. Well, about this time, it was right before Christmas. There was a snowstorm. Visibility was bad. He's in his house, and he's thankful that he's in his house. He hears a thumping on his patio, on the back side of his house, on his patio door. And he looks out there, and there's a bunch of geese out there, and they're running into his house. Visibility is so bad, and they're just kind of stranded right there, and it's so cold, and the wind's blowing. He's thinking to himself, you know, I got room in my barn. If I can get out there and kind of herd those geese into my barn, it's warm in there, they'll be safe for the night. They're gonna die out there if I don't try to help them. So he puts all his warm clothes on, and he goes out there, and he's trying to get them geese to go into the barn. They're not listening to him. They don't trust him. He's trying to herd them in. That's not working. He's trying to go in and call them. That's not working. He's putting breadcrumbs in there. That's not working. Nothing he's doing is getting those geese inside that barn. And he says to himself, I know what would work. If I could just become one of them, I could lead them to safety here in the barn. And then it dawned on him. You see, that's why God became man. That's why God took on human flesh. You see, if he would have been just a man, if Jesus would have been a mere man like some people say that he was, he could listen to us, he could counsel us, he could hug us, he could do a lot of things for us, but as a man, he could not do enough for us. And if Jesus would have been just God, it would have been a whole new situation, a whole different situation. Perhaps he would have come to judge us. But you see, he wasn't just God, and he wasn't just man. He was God and man combined. 100% both. Don't try to figure it out. That's what he was. And because of that, Hebrews 4:15 says, we have a high priest. And let me put it in my vernacular. We have a high priest who knows what it feels like to go through trials. We have a high priest who knows what it feels like to be hurt. We have a high priest who knows what it feels like to be rejected. We have a high priest who knows what it feels like to be exhausted, to be thirsty, to be hurting, to have things in your life that don't go your way. And yet, this high priest is without sin. And so that makes him not only able to relate to us, that makes him able to pull us up and lead us to safety. You see, that's what Christ does. He is God in the flesh. So I want to ask you today, and I want Mary and Francis to come, and they're going to close the service with O Holy Night. And let me make sure these mics are on. They are. Think about this for a minute. I want you to just ponder this in your mind. Do you recognize who Jesus really is? That's the question. Do you recognize who Christ is? Do you recognize what he can do? You see, so many don't. The list could be long, but there's many that do. Where do you fall into? You see, and I want you to understand something before they sing. It's not enough to just say, yeah, well, I believe in God. I believe Jesus was the Son of God. That's really great. I'm glad. But there must be a bit more. And it is this. It is faith and trust in Jesus only. It's as simple as that. Have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We praise you that you took on flesh. You became one of us to lead us to safety. Oh, we want to recognize you. We want to praise you. We want to adore you. You've been so good to us. And Father, we just ask you today to speak to our hearts as we ponder this. And I pray that we will. Do we recognize who Jesus is? Do we recognize him in all of his splendor and all of his ability and all that he can do in our lives? May we accept you as our Savior, Lord. If there's some here that do not know you, touch them. May they make that most important decision today to accept Christ as their Savior, to place their faith and their trust completely in him. Lord, we are so thankful for your presence, thankful for the wonderful choir songs, Lord, the way you bless the choir. And in this quiet moment, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.